Portland City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Leonard? Saltzman?
Here.
Potter?
Here.
Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 1606, adopt the Cully Concordia Community Assessment and Action Plan as a touchstone and guide for City Bureau and other agency work programs and a participatory and advocacy tool for community stakeholders.
A few years ago, I took a tour of Cully neighborhood with Kathy Furstenow and had quite an experience. And the folks from planning were there, but we walked around the neighborhood and I learned a lot about what was going on out in the Cully Concordia area. And as a result of that, and also the experience of other council members going out, I think we understand a lot more than we did just a few years ago about the needs of Cully. And I'm really heartened by the presentation today because it's really a very diverse group of people who've come together to look at this issue and to create this plan. So I'd like to call up Joe Zinder and other folks, Debbie, if you wish, and then we'll then take testimony from some community people.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners and Mayor. I'm Joe Zinder with the Bureau of Planning. Debbie Bishop is with me, who's been the project manager for the Cully Concordia project, and Debbie's going to talk about the process and the action recommendations that came out of this. And I just want to highlight a few points, and I'll be quick since we have a good number of participants in this process who want to testify today as well. This project is an example of the kind of work that we can do and have been doing in the district planning program at the Bureau of Planning, where we have planners such as Debbie assigned to different parts of the city as experts and as liaisons with the community, and they really give us the potential to do this kind of ground-up planning projects. An element of this project, and there's been a number that we've learned from in doing it, this one has a big community building element in it, where the act of convening this process, getting this group of stakeholders together, focusing on some specific issues, has produced a set of recommendations, that some of which the city will help carry out, some of which other public partners will, PPS, Multnomah County, but some of which are going to stay in the ownership as well of the community to carry out. So there's and the consensus that they built around this is one of the reasons we think it will be seen through. Second thing this process resulted in is a new kind of relationship with us, with Portland Public Schools, where they've been a very active partner in this process and in the deliberations and the analysis and what we've discovered. We've learned, and that participation has come from administration level, and also the principals. And that's something new for us at planning, where we've learned a lot about what's going on in this community by meeting with the three principals involved in the schools in Cully Concordia. So it's a whole new level of understanding we can bring to our work. What was interesting, too, is the principals participating in this, a whole new level of understanding flowed back to them about what's going on in their community. It's a very rich sort of relationship for us to use. Those two examples are lessons that we've drawn from this project that we're going to see in the Portland plan as well. We had representation from a wide group of people, and also some typically sort of underrepresented groups were at the table with us, made it a richer process. Again, we'll build that into the Portland plan as well. With that, I'll turn it over to Debbie to describe the results of the project.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. It's a pleasure to be here today to talk to you about the Cully Concordia Community Assessment and Action Plan, which began about a year ago, and as you've heard, is a partnership between City of Portland, Portland Public Schools, and the community. The effort was designed to address educational, economic, social service, public facilities, and service needs of families and children in a socioeconomically diverse part of Northeast Portland. The project is an outgrowth of the school's Families Housing Initiative, which recognized the critical interplay between healthy, family-friendly cities, stable, affordable housing, and community-serving amenities, infrastructure, and services. Underlying this effort is the premise that strong schools and strong neighborhoods are inextricably linked. Portland Public Schools' co-leadership on this project is based on the school's family housing, but also their current work related to reshape schools and the school's facility physical condition assessment. Guiding principles from the Reshape Schools Initiative include schools as multi-purpose centers of community, creative and adaptive learning environments, and reinvesting and redeveloping older schools with antiquated facilities. The Cully Concordia Community Assessment Report provides a summary of the physical, social, and economic conditions for most of the Cully and Concordia neighborhoods, including discussion of Portland Public Schools. And in your handouts, there's a highlights summary of the report. The study area was delineated. Based on the primary catchment area for three public schools, Fabian, Rigler, and Scott, and the vacant Whitaker school site. As you can see, the study areas from Northeast 27th to 82nd Avenue, from Prescott to Columbia Boulevard. These schools were picked because of specific student and facility needs based on unique school conditions, such as a high percentage of free and reduced lunches. And for these three schools, they average 70 to 87% of the students enrolled are in this free or reduced lunch program, compared to about 50% PPS school-wide. Higher number of English language learners, which is about twice the proportion of, again, PPS school-wide average. High turnover of students, low neighborhood student capture rate, and inadequate physical space and resources to serve students, and overall physical condition of schools rated poor to marginal. The 10-acre Whitaker site, the location of a former Portland Public School by Northeast 42nd and Killingsworth Street, plays into future discussion of these schools, especially with the Fabian School, which has been rated in poor condition, and the overcrowded conditions at Rigler and Scott, where eighth graders are sent to an academy at Madison High School instead of going to their neighborhood school. There are also redevelopment opportunities for part of the Whitaker site property that could meet community goals. Needless to say, there's a lot of community interest with this property. Portland Public School staff is present and will provide you an update on this property. Overall, the assessment has provided additional information about the area and has created a larger base of constituents interested in the future of the Whitaker School site. Other information about Cully Concordia area, which mirrors the school characteristics, is the steadily growing population in the area as residential infill development continues. And Cully Concordia has a greater number of families with children, school-age children, than the city overall. Poverty affects many households, as evident by the number of students using the free and reduced lunch program, and over 20% of the population speaks a language other than English at home. The Cully neighborhood is underrepresented in neighborhood commercial uses and local businesses due to a lack of commercial zoning. For Cully, for example, has 3.5% of the area zoned for commercial, where neighborhood average in the city is about 10%. Additionally, there's a shortage of complete streets with sidewalks, transit service through the core of Cully, developed parks, a community center, a library, and program recreational activities. Community participants identified a lack of preschool and high-quality childcare options. All of these shortcomings affect the livability and the success of families with children. And the map that you see before you does highlight some of those conditions. There are a lot of active organizations in the Cully Concordia area, such as the Cully Association of Neighbors, Hacienda CDC, the NEA Family and Youth Center, and Concordia University. Multnomah County provides some healthcare services, and partnerships exist between local schools and area organizations such as churches and businesses who help address some of the needs of children and families. Community involvement began early in this project with focus group and individual interviews with a variety of local stakeholders. Portland Public Schools and planning staff participated in these interviews led by Kathy Fong Stevens of Barney and Worth. From the interviews, we learned a lot about the values, issues, and opportunities from the local perspective. It also helped us to connect to additional active groups and organizations in the area who were then interviewed. And there's a whole chapter in the assessment report that deals called Community Voices, and that provides a summary of information we heard from the community, and there's also an appendix that lets you know who we interviewed and what their responses were. The school community was among those interviewed. School principals, other administrators, teachers, program leaders, PTAs, including a Latino parents group at Scott, and students who interviewed other students at Wrigler. City staff from PDOT and Parks and Rec were also interviewed and engaged in the project. PDC staff participated in an economic development discussion with interested community members that formed the basis for action plan strategies. All of those interviews from the community provided important insights that highlighted key values, needs, existing resources, potential opportunities, and additional partners related to schools, family, and the local community. From these interviews, we organized a diversely represented community discussion group, which met 5 times from April to September of this year. They reviewed the information collected and developed a list of short to longer term actions for partner implementation. Many of these participants are here today and would like to share their thoughts with you. As City and Portland Public School staff, we certainly appreciate their interest, time, and thoughtful contributions to the assessment and action plan. So the action plan is organized into four goal areas. One is schools as multipurpose centers of community life, with actions such as implementing a Sun Community School program at Scott and implementing transportation recommendations from Safer Routes to Schools. The second is expand community business and economic opportunities, with actions such as identifying and pursuing workforce development and training opportunities and implementing a commercial corridor strategy. The third goal area talks about identifying and pursuing neighborhood amenities and infrastructure that affect livability, with actions like identifying and pursuing improved transit services and advocating for full funding and development of a park in Cully. The fourth goal area talks about contributing to community building, connectedness, and stability, with actions such as establishing an ongoing community-based implementation structure for this program and building cross-cultural awareness through and relationships through projects and activities. Goal areas 2 and 3 have a lot of relevance for the city in terms of infrastructure, facilities, and services and economic development. Goals 1 and 3 have a strong relevance to Portland Public Schools, though all of the action plan directly and indirectly benefit the local community as well as the greater community. Before you have just received some suggested actions from the Native American Youth and Family Centers Youth and Elders Council. We just received these suggested actions a couple of hours ago, and we want to look at them more thoroughly. We think, in general, the concepts are good, but some items might be appropriate to be addressed through the Portland plan. And we also would like to share this with our community discussion group who authored the action plan. A key aspect to the success of the action plan is the willing community organizations and individual leadership and participation to work through action item implementation. City and Portland Public Schools involvement will continue into implementation. Community partners are coming forward as implementation leaders and participants, and some action items are already underway. Planning staff, for example, is developing a draft economic opportunities resource guide that will be promoted locally. Staff is also working with interested community to implement a project through a $15,000 allocation from Schools Family Housing to expand adult English as second language classes in the study area. This will benefit adults as well as so they will be better able to communicate with their children and participate more on their education. Also, it will help position these adults along with other related classes like GED classes for better paying jobs. The community discussion group was unanimous in wanting to focus these limited funds on adult ESL classes. Further prioritization of the action items is needed in order to help guide partner activities. Further work is also needed on establishing community-based implementation structure. Planning staff will continue to participate on specific actions, be a clearinghouse for information, and will continue to monitor activities with action plan implementation along with coordinating with city bureaus and other agencies. In terms of my upcoming work program as Northeast District Planner, I would like to lead a Cully Boulevard Main Street project that increases the potential for community-desired commercial uses and local business opportunities in Central Cully, which lacks such opportunities. One of the biggest benefits of this process has been community-building element of diverse community groups and individuals learning the issues, needs, and desires from the perspective of families with children and coming together to participate in addressing these needs and desires. New partnerships are forming that will benefit families and children, local schools, and the community overall. There's now a larger constituency of interested community members poised to advocate for local community needs and desires. One observation I would like to make is that by engaging diverse community members in interviews, discussions early on, and then by them seeing their views and issues highlighted by staff during the process, and then translated into strategic actions to address, helped forge community goals, connections, and partnerships that will carry on. The Planning Commission was briefed on this project at its October 14th meeting. They were very positive about the project scope and the community building and partner emphases. The action that is requested before you today is to adopt the Cully Concordia Community Assessment and Action Plan as a touchstone and guide for City Bureau and other agency work programs, and as a participatory and advocacy tool for community members. Thank you.
Questions from the commissioners? That was just an excellent presentation. I think you stunned us. So,
oh, thank you.
they'll be available to come back after the public.
Yeah,
certainly.
So, thank you.
Thanks.
I'd like to call up Doug Capps with the Portland Public School District. They were a very vital partner in all of this, and we certainly appreciate their involvement. Welcome to council, Doug.
Thank you. Mayor and members of the council, I'm Doug Capps. I represent Portland Public Schools in a community and government relations capacity. And I'm here just to tell you how proud we are to have been and will continue to be co-sponsors of this effort. And we're also here to convey Portland Public School District's thanks to the City Council and to the Bureau of Planning for funding and for carrying out this assessment that you're seeing today. And by the way, that thanks is on behalf of the schools that promised to be strengthened in the neighborhoods because of this work. It's on behalf of, for example, one of our school principals, Deanne Froelich, who wished she could be here today, but there was a family emergency, who eloquently expressed the needs of her school community and helped to shape the action steps that will improve her school. And as Joe mentioned, this was also, she was joined by other school principals in the schools in the study area. So there's some significance to this effort on several levels. Some of this has been mentioned, but I want to highlight it. First, this effort really does represent a new and different level of cooperation between the school district and the city of Portland to build a new partnership around a set of community-based objectives. And it's not just us. Beyond other city bureaus, BHCD, PDOT, PDC, the partnership also draws in other organizations, agencies, and nonprofits to potentially assist with resources as the action plan is implemented. Yes, there's a really solid piece of work, what I would call almost like a typical planning bureau document that looks like this. You may have seen it. But the interesting thing about this, this really is a good piece of work. It says a summary of physical, social, and economic conditions in Cully and Concordia. But beyond that, I think maybe just as importantly, or maybe even more importantly, is the action plan that resulted from the assessment. It's a result of basic, hardcore, grassroots community organizing sponsored by the city and supported by Portland Public Schools. And by the way, I think that maybe planners can now put community organizer on their business card. I would suggest that because, as you know, this term has been highlighted in the national scene, and I'd say that they'd be in good company given the results of the election. But at its core, The assessment identifies what exists or what does not exist in the neighborhood to strengthen family life and reinforce successful students and successful schools. And that assessment led then to this action plan that is grounded and prioritized, and it's full of possibilities. And your fabulous consulting team, Clark Worth and Kathy Fong Stevens, they call it strength-based thinking and the process of building the social capital of the neighborhood. So 36, I think it's 36, count them, action steps have been developed from this effort. Examples that are critical to Portland Public Schools are those that reinforce one of our key guiding principles that Debbie mentioned as we plan the future of our schools in Portland, that schools should serve as multi-purpose centers of community life. So you'll see proposals that, for example, enhance early childhood and preschool programs in the area schools, or improve open space around our schools to better serve recreational programming, or improve streets and sidewalks for safer routes to schools, particularly in the Cully neighborhood. Now, PPS, of course, is not off the hook in addressing these identified deficiencies. Addressing the overcrowding at Scott and Regular is a priority. Greater flexibility in providing community access to our schools, particularly family-supportive activities after school on evenings and weekends without the typical overhead costs that the school district charges to the users. I'm thinking particularly of the Friday night film event at Harvey Scott School, or the fact that the regular principal would like to have the library open in the evening for availability to families. And planning school redevelopment with community uses and partnerships in mind is another priority of ours that we want to pursue. And that sounds, of course, a lot like Rosa Parks School at New Columbia that the city was so helpful in supporting. So I just want to close real quickly here with a comment about the Whitaker site. Debbie said I would say something. And it is an item on the action plan and a topic of interest. I know there is a topic of interest to some of you. The action plan calls for a Whitaker master plan process to determine the future use of the site. I do want to mention that there was a conscious decision at the beginning of this assessment to keep the Whitaker issue sort of out of the assessment, to not focus on that. And I believe the conclusion was that master planning process could completely overwhelm this assessment work and the resources that were available. But nevertheless, it's identified as one of the action steps. And the school in the worst condition and in the most need of reconstruction of the three in that whole area is Fabian. And because Fabian has been identified as as high on the list of our schools destined for reconstruction, should the school district be fortunate enough to have a capital bond, then the action plan references the future decision of where the new Fabian school would be located, on its current site or at the Whitaker site on 42nd Avenue. So now you can see the linkage between the Fabian decision and the Whitaker site. So there are two items on the action list that pertain to this. So why did the action plan say that? Well, because we have a school board resolution from a few years back that committed to building a school on the Whitaker site. That was when the Whitaker site was closed, or the Whitaker school was closed, and then the school was then demolished. So along with that resolution, the school board adopted a master plan. It was worked out. In fact, there's some people in this audience who were participants in that worked out a master plan for the site that included not only a site for the school, but called for market rate housing on the space that the school doesn't need. So with that, though, we also know that there are ideas percolating in the community about alternative uses at that site. So our intent is to use the potential rebuilding of Fabian to frame a new community process to help answer the question of location and the remaining uses of either one of those parcels. And both sites really have tremendous partnership potential with the school, with Concordia University being a key partner at either site. And we're having good discussions with Concordia about that. So, and I should also mention that Whitaker adjoins Fernhill Park, and what are the opportunities that might be discovered in that. But I will say that because PPS is not in the best position to be the arbiter of non-school uses, we're of the opinion that we're probably not the best individuals or organization to be able to sort that future use out, and we're looking for assistance in helping to make that community determination. I only mentioned that just casually here in case there was any interest on the part of the city to do that. So in conclusion about the whole assessment, I just want to say great work. There are many ideas, very compelling ideas on a range of topics that affect families with children. But most importantly now is our follow-through. There's an important question, I think, yet to be resolved, notwithstanding what Debbie said about some of the action activities that are already occurring. But how do we sustain this momentum? We need to keep faith with the community that we've been working with. And the Portland Public School District is committed to continuing a discussion about how to accomplish that and to be active participants in it. So I want to thank you again for your support of our schools through this unique undertaking. It's one that we hope can be repeated in other neighborhoods as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Doug. How many folks do we have signed up?
We have 9 people.
Let's call the first 3.
First 3 are Jason Simmons, Robert Granger, and Gary Withers. And they'll be followed by Charles McGee, Ann Rothert, and Tony Fuentes.
Thanks for being here today, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Jason Simmons. I'm a pastor at Mosaic Church in Northeast Portland, and I'm a proud father of a Harvey Scott student. As stated in item 4C of the Coley Concordia Action Plan, one action item of the project is to explore partnerships between churches and schools to contribute to neighborhood connectedness and sustainability. This includes furthering partnerships in which faith communities address school needs. Mosaic Church is engaged in one such partnership with Harvey Scott School in Coley. The partnership began 5 years ago when Mosaic sent volunteers to Harvey Scott to help beautify the schoolyard in preparation for the first day of school. After we met Principal Froelich and we heard that nearly 80% of the children there are on free and reduced lunch, we began to ask the question, what if? What if Mosaic committed to loving the school, no strings attached, by addressing some of the school's most basic needs? Since then, the partnership has really blossomed. Mosaic has given 250 backpacks, 80 pairs of new shoes, and thousands of dollars worth of gift cards to some of the school's most economically disadvantaged children. During the holiday season, Mosaic sponsors a craft fair at the school and adopts 15 to 20 families that are in need by providing them with holiday gifts, household goods, and a meal together as a family. The church has provided appreciation lunches and gifts for teachers and staff, and has logged approximately 1,000 volunteer hours beautifying the schoolyard. Currently, Mosaic has 10 volunteers in the school every week. They assist in classrooms, the chess club, and building community amongst parents. Looking forward, Mosaic volunteers are working with Harvey Scott administrators to implement a new program designed to teach children kindness, respect, and leadership within the school. In closing, adoption of the Coley Concordia Action Plan by this council will foster bridge building between schools and churches, which will open up new possibilities for partnerships like the one between Harvey Scott and Mosaic. Second, it will create new opportunities for faith communities to support new programs in the schools, such as SUN and ESL programs. Third, it will encourage churches like Mosaic to share this vision with other faith communities and assist them to meet needs in Coley and Concordia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Granger. I live in Northeast Portland in the Coley neighborhood. My wife and I moved to Coley about 2.5 years ago to build a house across the street from our daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren. And we moved from southeast Portland. It's been a wonderful experience to come up into the Cully neighborhood and to see the vibrant nature of the grassroots work going on in that neighborhood. I'm also now a member of the Cully Association Neighbors Board, and I want to say that, first of all, I want to thank Mayor Potter, the council, and in particular the Bureau of Planning and Debbie Bischoff for the work that they've done on this project. I think, although I have not been directly involved in the work groups themselves, I've reviewed all of the materials that's come out of that, and I'm incredibly impressed with the thoughtfulness and the organization that's gone into that. So I first up front, we just want to say thank you to Debbie and to everyone who worked to make this happen. The second thing I'd like to propose is a context for thinking about how this action plan could be implemented as we move forward, and in particular, what that might mean for the various bureaus that you represent as they work on the implementation of the action plan. At the kickoff meeting of the Portland plan, there was a lot of buzz and a lot of enthusiasm for the vision of a 20-minute community. The 20-minute community, I think, represents the best of our thinking about what Portland can be to integrate community development and sustainability really for the 21st century. I see the Cully neighborhood and the Concordia neighborhood as a greenfield for development opportunities related to this, to the build out of this vision of a 20-minute community. It means bringing things like you just heard, the integration of community organizing, churches, schools, businesses, and so on, to create a robust environment that people can walk to. This isn't going to happen with business as usual in looking at issues of zoning, in looking at issues of creative partnerships for economic development. And I just encourage you to think about the 20-minute community as the template for future vision of Cully and Concordia. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Gary Withers, the Executive Vice President at Concordia University. It's a pleasure to have been a part of the process, and it's a pleasure to be here today. I really just want to make 3 points. One is about the process. Secondly is about the importance of economic development in this area. And third, about Concordia University, your community partner. The process was impeccable. It was balanced. It was fair. It was inclusive. And details matter. Every one of those 5 meetings was held in such a warm and nurturing way that everyone felt comfortable participating and being candid. And finally, the follow-through was absolutely exemplary. And so a special thanks go to Kathy Fong Stevens and to Debbie Bischoff. They were a joy to work with, and we look forward to continuing to work with them. Schools and transportation infrastructure are covered extensively in the report, and they're absolutely essential, and we're grateful for the conversations we've been having with Portland Public Schools. But economic development is also covered in the report, and I would urge your attention on page 15, where you will find there that there is a graph that demonstrates that the demand, consumer demand, far outstrips the retail services that are available in this area. The page also indicates there are only 2 really fully operational grocery stores in the area, and we have a population of close to 20,000 with only 3,000 jobs. So the area is ripe for economic opportunity, and in fact, that's one of the reasons that Concordia University moved its bookstore from a hidden little corner in the middle of our campus to a semi-commercial area, a burgeoning commercial area at 30th and Ainsworth, and we've rebranded it there as well. 42nd and Killingsworth presents an excellent economic opportunity. This, of course, is the site of the former Whitaker Middle School, and it is a place that has great potential, in particular, for women and minority-owned businesses. Indeed, they already have the 42nd Avenue Business Association formed there and enthusiastically looking at opportunities and options. As you know, Concordia University has an interest in that parcel of land as well. We have been working with architects and planners about the prospective development of a campus and community athletic arena that would serve the needs of everyone in that area with an indoor track, indoor soccer fields, basketball courts, et cetera. Now, Concordia University is open and ready for business. 3 years ago, we made a deep commitment to the community to become an engaged and active partner. As a result, we have created things like the Concordia Teacher Corps, where we have 75 of our students out and among a host of schools, including Rigler, Scott, and Fabian, tutoring at-risk children. We also have a host of partnerships, and I'll conclude by saying that one of our great partnerships is with City Hall, and we have enjoyed hosting things from the Youth Violence Forum to the Restorative Listening Project on Gentrification. In conclusion, I would just say that the process was a great product as well. Wonderful community building. We urge your support for the plan.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Gary, I just want to, because your time cut you off probably, I want to acknowledge another partnership that I learned of recently. I attended an event hosted by Ecumenical Ministries at the Ainsworth Community Church, which hosts an HIV Day Center. And what I learned at that event is that students from your institution are working as volunteers there. I believe it's in the nursing program.
Correct.
The Concordia students, and there were a couple of tables of people who are deeply engaged in that work. So that's just another example of how they are helping to make a better community, and I just want to acknowledge the good work of Concordia.
Thank you. We were delighted that Mayor Potter joined us for a community scholarship banquet a few months ago on the campus as well.
It's fun. Mr. Simmons, I was very impressed with your church activities. I would hope that you do share it with other churches in the area and synagogues and mosques so that we can get more participation from churches. I really believe that in a down economy, it's that kind of engagement, I think, that will really bring about true change in our communities.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Read the next three.
Next three are Charles McGee, Ann Rothert, and Tony Fuentes. They'll be followed by Sandra LaFrancois, Joy Jerome Tertola, and Kathy Furstenow.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
Oh, hi, I'm Charles McGee, Executive Director of the Black Parent Initiative. First, I want to thank you all for your leadership and for all the hard work you do for our citizens of our city. You know, when I first heard about this project, I had just got finished reading a book called Radical Possibilities by a woman by the name of Jan Annion. And in this book, she talks about sort of this utopian education system. And she says, you know, she poses the question of, you know, how do we expect to have it if communities are separate from schools, if churches and mosques and synagogues are separate, if governmental agencies are separate, and we're all operating in our individual silos. And then she poses another fascinating question. She says, how effective is a school that doesn't have an impact or relationship with economic development? All of us understanding the economy that we're in, all of us understanding the situations and the crisis that we face right now. And as you look at the picture that they showed earlier about the Cully neighborhood, looking at the lack of the no sidewalks, looking at the businesses that are lacked in that community, the two neighborhood stores, one being extremely expensive for the folks in the neighborhood, and the other not having enough healthy food. That community is, I think, the ideal place for the conversation that we're having. We live in a city that I think represents two types of people. We live in one that has the Pearl District that's thriving and has gyms and wonderful workout facilities and on any given Friday night has culture and all the things that we say we love in Portland. And then we also live in a city that has the Cully neighborhood, that has people who are spending some of the longest hours and times to get to work in our community, people who are spending more money to even come to work. We have folks who are a lot of them are working harder than most of us, but are getting paid less than a lot of us. So we are asked this question. And being that, you know, we're the liberal and loving people that we are, I think we're faced with a very interesting dilemma. And what do we do? I think this project not only speaks to the economic development opportunities, but it also speaks to what it truly means to build community and what it means to say to folks who live in a place that your voice matters. You look at 42nd, again, it has a lot of opportunities. It's not, to me, the conversation is not necessarily about housing as much as it is about jobs. We see what's happening in the market. We know how important a job is, and it's about time we start that. And I think you all are faced with an interesting opportunity to do that through this project. And I thank Debbie and her staff and the folks who from planning who were just fantastic in engaging us and making sure that we went along fine. So thank you all.
My name is Ann Rothert, and I am actually a Concordia native. I won't get to say this very often, but I am the chair-elect of the Concordia Neighborhood Association. Back in the day, I spent 2 years sitting on the Whitaker-Adams Stakeholders Advisory Council that Doug referenced, and it was quite a process. It was a lot of work. It included a lot of public input, and it resulted in a really lovely document. Understandably, I came to this project quite wary, and if there is such the oxymoron, if I was skeptically hopeful. Colley and Concordia are very different neighborhoods with different concerns and yet also very similar in many ways. We do have a very good history of collaboration on shared concerns and supportive of each other's issues. In terms of this report, I'd like to highlight the need for high-quality childcare in the area. And here is an opportunity where my public and private life overlap. Family childcare is one of the most often chosen kinds of care for low-income families. Parents who are working, if parents are working, children are in some kind of care of some sort. We don't know always if it's whether it's regulated or non-regulated, quality or low quality. The action plan focuses on the opportunity to address the quality of care, at the same time address some of the economic development goals. I currently work for the Child Care Improvement Project and have been with them for over 7 years now. It's a system of family child care networks throughout the Portland metropolitan area. The City of Portland, Multnomah County, and the state, along with many community funders, have strongly supported the CCIP for 10 years. Family child care is a viable entrepreneurial business, and as well as the individual child care providers, it also, as I mentioned, enables others to work. The possibility of a child care development center that has been mentioned in the action plan also gives all sorts of opportunities for training and mentoring for family child care providers. It's been exciting to see through this process how many connections have happened with the community and just informally at the meetings that were held. And child care was really a focus of, because there are so many low-income housing pieces in Culley in particular. And CCIP has had some involvement, but CCIP has also stepped forward to take lead on some of the child care issues. From my time working with the 42nd Avenue Target area and with the Whitaker-Adams site, I know also a key to getting an action plan moving into implementation is to have some sort of point person or staffing. There are plenty of volunteers and committed partners, and energy and ideas aplenty. And so I would like to see that there be a commitment made to have some kind of staffing continue to keep this project moving forward. I feel really positive about the involvement I've had with this and the future of it. And I just ask you to adopt the assessment action plan.
All right. My name is Tony Fuentes. I'm the co-chair of the Concordia Neighborhood Association. I am also a local business owner in the area. We employ 5 people in our business in Concordia, and most of the products that we feature there are locally made by local entrepreneurs as well as designers. I think what I wanted to focus on, and it seems to be a common theme right now, is project goal number 2, which states expanding community business and economic opportunities for the benefit of area residents and businesses. I think it's important to understand what that really means and the goal in terms of our discussions on this, and that is to build a durable local economy. And what that means in terms of strategies is to build it from the bottom up. It's the desire is not so much to have things come to Culley, but to strengthen what is already there in terms of skills and opportunities for local residents. What we're seeing in our local economy right now, of course, is that in terms of the workforce, a lot of the workforce has opportunities that have emerged in Portland in the last few years have been filled by imported work, by imported personnel, rather than being something that's being filled by local residents. There's a great discussion in terms of the creative class, but many of those creative class opportunities have been filled by people coming from other localities to Portland rather than being able to support those locally. One of the strategies we have in here is 2A, and the core behind that strategy is to ensure that there is skills and opportunities and resources available to our existing residents, as well as our youth, to be able to fill those jobs now and in the future. Again, this is kind of the idea of really what it means to build a durable economy rather than having one that's reliant upon importing all of its talent. We have a high poverty rate in this town. We have a high high school dropout rate, but I can tell you from my own personal experience, when you talk to youth especially, they have dreams. None of them have dreams to drop out of high school. Their dreams are for any variety of things. And being able to tap into that and provide those supports very early on, through mentorship with local business owners, for instance, through skill sets that provide them with real-world skills rather than having them be in a classroom setting where they don't understand the connection, are real opportunities here. So that's one thing in terms of supporting a growing workforce. Another thing is also supporting opportunities locally. And I think one of the big things that kind of happens here is that local entrepreneurs need readier access to capital as well as skill sets in order to expand. And I think some of that capital and opportunity should be localized. And I think some of the examples that we've seen have been the work of Mercy Corps Northwest and then other kind of national models such as Kiva.org and other kind of micro-enterprise opportunities. So I think really part of it is being able to provide the skills and opportunities and support for the talents that are already there, and then also ensuring that that talent can take advantage of the capital in order to expand. I'll leave it at that.
Tony, can I follow up on one point?
Sure.
On the question of business and development and economic opportunity, Do you support the general concept of looking at some rezoning on Cully Boulevard to create more commercial district?
I have a mixed view of that. In general, I do. I think one of the biggest things, however, is this idea of ensuring that this change of land policy is something that actually supports the existing community and allows that existing community to grow and to sustain itself. What can happen in terms of just blind rezoning is that the capital, the opportunities, et cetera, come from the outside. And then those folks who may have been there for many years can get pushed out. And so really the catalog of goals and strategies that we've identified here is in some ways to be able to say, yes, we want to see more economic development opportunity in the form of rezoning, but we also want to ensure that existing residents, local residents, have the opportunities to access those. And that is both in terms of access to capital, guidance, and skill set building, as well as, I think, other kind of opportunities in terms of how that zoning happens to ensure that there's opportunities for the full spectrum of economic backgrounds. For instance, rather than just, you know, like leased commercial space versus commercial condos and mixed use and so forth, there's a variety of ways to develop it so that everybody has a fair shot at gaining from it.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, folks.
The next three are Sandra Lefrancois, Joy Jerome Tortola, and Kathy Furstenau.
Good afternoon. I'm Sandra Lefrancois with Central Northeast Neighbors Coalition. And CNN has been involved as a community partner of the Cully Concordia Assessment and Action Plan since its inception. One of the action items we are involved with is fostering cross-cultural relations in Cully, and we just provided a workshop of five community groups and had an overwhelming response, including city staff, to learn about these communities and how to reach out to these communities. I kindly ask you to adopt this valuable initiative. One of the main points I'd like to make in support is that through this project, the city has made significant advances in listening and engaging the voices of groups that serve low-income, culturally diverse, underrepresented communities. Also, this initiative is addressing issues that affect our more vulnerable populations in regards to education, employment, housing, safety, and access to resources and programs. These fundamental issues impact neighborhood livability as a whole. This is a meaningful partnership between the city and the community, whereas issues and strategies
for taking actions are identified and are implemented by the community through collaboration. This is a different approach to planning. We can see it this more effort as community planning and rather than city planning, and a model. The Cully Concordia Action Plan ensures that the community is involved in shaping lasting change. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joy Jerome Tertola, and I'm the co-director of Portland Community College's Metropolitan Workforce Training Center located at Northeast 42nd and Killingsworth. And I'm also the proud father of a spirited 7-year-old who attends Harvey Scott Elementary. Our Workforce Training Center is very happy to be a partner and active player in helping to achieve the mission and the vision outlined in the Cully Concordia Neighborhood Assessment Plan. Our Workforce Training Center, its primary program is all about workforce development. Our program is called Steps to Success, and we provide skill-building classes, GED classes, computer training to individuals who are currently receiving public assistance, otherwise known as welfare. And we also hold weekly job fairs for our clients, and we work with local employers to cultivate jobs and place our clients into area employment. We view ourselves as an active player in the neighborhood. In Multnomah County alone, there's been a 16% increase over the last year of individuals receiving TANF or welfare, and we see that every day in the folks coming in through our door. And it's our intention to find synergy and create partnerships with area businesses and neighborhood partners to ensure the maximum utilization of our Workforce Training Center. And that includes not only the physical resources of the buildings and the computer labs, but also to leverage our role within the entire PCC system district-wide and linkages to other programs at PCC. We look forward to continuing the dialogue with the Bureau of Planning and our area neighbors to take the steps needed to make the Cully Concordia neighborhood one that supports the vitality of families and local businesses alike. And we really thank the Council and the Bureau of Planning for all their work so far. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kathy Firstenow, and I'm the chair of the Cully Association of Neighbors. And I, too, want to thank Debbie Bischoff for the wonderful job, and Kathy Fong-Stevens for identifying their needs and priorities and actually creating a doable action plan. She put it in steps, and from a year, 2 years, I think that is really great. I know you're very familiar with our infrastructure needs because we've talked about it often. So some of the action plan themes of doing a community center type Sun program at Harvey Scott, I think it would be really great. When my kids used to go there 20 years ago, there used a community program that I used to go do exercise classes to, which I wish I could do now. I used to teach a craft class for the little kids. So you got community people involved at that site doing things, and I think you could do that again and open it up to the neighborhood. We also need more retail and businesses that serve the neighborhood. Also, of course, the streets. You know, I won't go into that because you're well aware of that, but TriMet and Transit, I think, need to be addressed as well because we don't have anything that goes really through our neighborhood. And, of course, affordable housing is something that we need to keep continue to look at. Did you see the Sunday paper, the Oregonian article about Leslie Calderon's saga trip to just to go grocery shopping? It was a 4-hour ordeal once a month to do that. And that really illustrates to me our infrastructure needs. When someone has to grab a bus, go all the way up almost to Clackamas Town Center to do shopping once a month, and she isn't able to transfer because it's too burdensome. She isn't able to walk up to the neighborhood stores because there isn't sidewalks. She isn't able to buy healthy food because she's not be able to store it because she's only able to do it once a month. Really tells me we need to help our neighbors and be able to do, like Bob said, the 20-minute plan to get to where we need to be. Her dreams are to have more retail, to have a market right across the street. She lives, looks like, at the Hacienda complexes. And my dream is for that, too. I've addressed the owners about maybe having a market, having a family kind of island there rather than the strip club that's there now. And just even recently, the vacant building has applied for another liquor application and lottery machines, which we already have 38 of, so we don't really need that. So I would really love to see more retail and neighbor-friendly businesses coming to our area. The Cully and Concordia neighborhoods are very strong neighborhoods, and the associations are very strong, as evident by our Spirit of Portland Awards we recently received. So I know that in working on this plan that we can make things happen with your support, so I hope that you will adopt the action plan and the assessment. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Kathy, could I just follow up on one thing?
Sure.
The liquor license application you referred to, do you know what they're planning, what they're proposing to put in there?
Yeah, it's, well.
Is it another similar use to it to its neighboring use?
It is. It is. It's going to be a pizza liquor lottery, but basically it's liquor lottery and heavy emphasis on lottery. Because the adjacent building, I've been to the adjacent restaurants per se, and I've never seen it. I don't even smell food being cooked in there, and I know that there's lottery going on in there. So we've talked to them, and actually we're working on a good neighbor plan with the current applicants now.
I know that you're a neighborhood leader, land use planner for grocery stores, but given that you've referenced the site at Cully and Killingsworth, is there a sense in the community that you're aware of whether that would be an appropriate place for a Winco or some other grocery store if they chose to locate?
I don't think a Winco. I don't think the property is big enough to withstand a Winco and plus the traffic. I don't think the neighbor could. But something smaller on a smaller scale, like a Zupan's, but maybe not a Zupan's because that wouldn't maybe quite fit the area there. But a market that would have, you know, fresh meat, fresh produce would be really great. And like I was telling the applicant, says you have all these residents right across the street that would probably love to come shop, or even if it was a restaurant, love to come eat. But none of those things are really, you know, family oriented right there. And right next door, there's a new community transitional school that has just opened up. So, you know, I'm sure that some of the people there would love to be able to just run over and get the supplies and things that they need as well. So,
thank you.
Could I address one thing that you asked, Tony?
Sure.
Oh, okay. About Cully Boulevard.
Please.
Okay. To me, Debbie and I have had conversations about rezoning that area for commercial. And if I were guaranteed that businesses such as restaurants or something neighborhood friendlies would be coming to Cully Boulevard, I would support that. But my fear is that you open it up to retail or commercial, that more liquor establishments would just plop themselves down on that street. And that's sort of I'm hesitant.
I think we heard Tony loud and clear on that. Sort of, my guess is that big box retail, more alcohol, more bars and dance establishments like what we have at the intersection would not be as welcome as businesses
neighborhood
that
friendly.
Yes. Neighborhood friendly. So,
right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, and I just wanted to thank you for over the years of touring me around the neighborhood, inviting me, hosting me at numerous neighborhood meetings, and your stalwart, assertive, very persistent leadership and advocacy on behalf of
Cully. We have an attorney here in case he strays to Cully.
So you've been awesome. I wish every neighborhood had the kind of leader and advocate that you've been. So
I appreciate that, and I appreciate the support of the City Council on many of our needs so far.
Mayor, I have some questions for staff, if we're done.
Thank you, folks.
That's all who signed up.
Could the staff come back up, please?
So I want to congratulate you on a great process, as is evidenced by the testimony today. And the work in front of us, I think, represents, better work than the Clinton Division plan. And I thought it was fantastic work. So each of these study areas and neighborhood plans, I see really great improvement and increase in sophistication. My questions, though, were similar on the Clinton Division Plan, and that is, how will we know when we'll get there and what there is in terms of success? It would be great if in the future we could